Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica White, your host, and we're back! I know, it's been a long time. I was busy, what can I tell you? We're back. And I want to welcome you tonight to the Let's Get Real second anniversary spectacular birthday party celebration. And much like North Korea's dear leader's recent birthday party celebration, replete with postage stamps and commemorative coins, and a mountainside carved with his name and millions of starving celebrants, we have lots of big plans for you tonight, our dear listeners. Now, after all, we're 2 years old today, you know. We're big grown-up kids now. No more babies around here anymore. We're talking, we're walking, we're feeding ourselves, we're almost potty trained, we're even updating our very own phones to iOS 7 for the first time. And like all two-year-olds everywhere, we're also learning to say no to everything and developing our personalities and our senses of self and our egos and also learning how to text while being changed. And soon we'll be watching viral YouTube teething videos on our own iPhone 7s while the nanny's on the phone with the nanny she's pushing strollers with. Kids grow up so fast these days. In other words, all the great stuff that comes with being two is happening right now here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter and at Let's Get Real HQ. So we're celebrating tonight. In fact, Let's Get Real's two favorite little mascot buddies, the Let's Get Real twins, Lexi and Hampton. They're coming by later for a little gluten-free hemp flour birthday cake and their favorite treat, organic cold-pressed parsnip juice. If only those dumb nannies can find their Metro cards and get here in time after the drivers drop the kids off. Now, we lied and told the kids that Surrey Cruise was coming also, but Chris and I figured that once the Oreo-flavored Ritalin sprinkles on the gluten-free cake kick in, they won't even care. Now, if the nannies don't show up, though, I'm not letting those two twins into the fallout shelter, just so you know, because last time they were here, they totally trashed the place, and they got into my secret stash of pink grapefruit-flavored jelly beans that I keep around just for my personal enjoyment after the apocalypse. And since those kids are never allowed any sugar other than squeezy fruit pouches, they are totally out of control when they find the tiniest crumb of processed sucrose around, and especially when it mixes with their Adderall. But it's okay, because once the nannies get off the subway, I'll get them to strap the kids up for the party in their new Zen suits. What? What do you mean you've never heard of a Zen suit? Don't you read the New York Magazine? Don't your kids go to the Avenue School in Chelsea? Where have you been? Zen suits are the item of the moment. Everybody is getting Zen suits for their kids. Speaking of Surrey Cruise, I just saw Katie Holmes in the park with Surrey all zipped up in one. Zen suits, in case you don't know, are like little straitjackets for kids, but they're marketed in a positive way as a teaching tool and as a method to get your kids to focus on their deepest inner selves and to learn to self-soothe. It forces them to look inward and get in touch with their higher beings. In other words, to be more positive and less negative, while keeping them out of my damn post-apocalyptic jelly bean stash. Zen suits immobilize them and restricts their movement, but in a positive, teachable moment sort of way. It's sort of like teaching them attachment parenting, but to themselves. It frees up mom for so many more hours of Pilates and waxing. Plus, the Zen suits are handmade by Laotian orphans in a special program that allows the orphans to keep a full 0.03% of their monthly earnings for themselves and get a full meal every day. And the suits are made of organic cotton grown in Bolivia by bankrupt former quinoa farmers. Note to self, text the nanny so they remember to bring the Zen suits, because those are my damn jelly beans. Mine. See, I'm two now, and it's all about me. Don't touch my beans. They're mine. Let's just say that on the subject of jelly beans, Ronald Reagan and I have a lot in common. Well, that and being just a touch delusional and the gray hair. Anyway, the jelly beans are for later. For now, let's talk about this past year on Let's Get Real and how magnificently we've covered the wacky world of foodiness and other newsworthy events from here at Foodiness HQ and the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. Now, it's been a while since I've done a live show. I know, over 5 weeks. That's the longest Let's Get Real has gone on hiatus since we started airing the show live 2 years ago. And you know why I've been off the air, right? Well, somebody's got to make some money around here. We've got to keep the solar generators going to power the time machine and to staff the rehabilitation center and maintain the re-education camp. And now that I'm a consultant, I sometimes have to work really, really hard. And that means no show. We consultants have to take the work when we can get it. And boy, have I been getting it. So sadly, no show for a while. But here I am. Back and ready for another fun-filled year of foodiness shenanigans and shameless self-promotion. That's foodiness shenanigans and shameless self-promotion. So Chris, my co-producer, and I have been thinking really hard about what to do for this great special second anniversary, great big birthday spectacular show that we've been wanting to put on. Now, for last year's anniversary show, we just did a roundup of the year's top foodiness stories, and that always seems to work out really well. Plus, then we don't need to think of a new topic for another week. But we've decided to start this year off with a new Oprah-style best year ever type of approach. In fact, I've been wearing my own kind of Zen suit, but it's from Lululemon. I bought it up in Rye yesterday when I ate lunch there as a consultant. All the Westchester and Connecticut moms have them now. Only consultants and hedge fund wives can afford Lululemon stuff, and I had to fit in, right? And anyway, I've decided to get rid of all the negativity in my life and all the negative people. And by negative people, I mean them. You know, those people over there. Not me. I'm not the negative one. They are. Now, if you'll remember back 5 or 6 long, long weeks to my last live show, it was all about how this past year has been by far and absolutely my best year ever. Big changes for me in 2013. Big! Beginning with leaving my 15-year teaching job and just completely changing my whole lifestyle and going rogue and starting a new media career and all kinds of fun and exciting stuff. And oh yeah, also becoming a consultant. And it's all been a huge success, and I've never been happier or less negative. And my skin even looks better, and I have fewer crow's feet. They're more like hummingbirds' feet now. And in the last show, I interwove that fascinating subject with my thoughts on risk-taking and eating fruit and how life is like biting into a ripe summer peach. Often it's going to be delicious, but sometimes it'll suck. And sometimes a pit splits open and a worm crawls out, which actually happened to me as a child and which was a very formative experience. And I think back on it often wistfully, pondering the experience. And I realize only now what I learned from that experience was that I really, really should have sued. But this is the kind of thing you only hear on Let's Get Real. It's an only on Let's Get Real, very special episode of Blossom kind of topic. You'll never hear anyone else tackling that kind of deep, heady subject matter, and that's why you listen, right? Where else will you get serious reporting on food issues that affect us all, like toilet babies and texting nannies and Soylent Green and 7-Elevens and Armageddon and edible ads? So it's been a pretty effing great year so far. And therefore, we thought, why not count our proverbial blessings and practice gratitude and invite infinite abundance and take a more spiritual and positive approach to this year's anniversary coverage of the last year's biggest trends in foodiness. Now, I know I tend to drift toward the more negative, honest, and not the positive denial and lies. And for some, it's very hard to digest those truths, literally. We've all been force-fed the foodiness flim-flam for forever. I mean, even I ate Snackwell's cookies and drank Tab growing up. And therefore, feeding on the truth makes us want to throw up, as a two-year-old would say. Or these days, tweet with their own hashtag, since talking can't be shared by all of your toddler connections. And so since we are now 2 years old, and at two you really start to master language and type 60 characters a second using your thumbs, while at the same time you learn how to manipulate and lie, while still remaining cute enough to not be forcefully drowned in your bath by your maxed out mommy, who then will only blame it on the nanny, who's here illegally anyway, so nobody will believe her when she says she didn't do it. Anyway, as I've said, since we're two now, instead of being a lying, manipulative, horrible two-year-old, we're going to try to spin it by being more spiritual, denial, and less negative, i.e. honest. We're growing up, so we're all going to live our best foodiness-free life ever together. And that's what I want this to be all about. Togetherness. Like George W. Bush, I want to be a uniter, not a divider. This country is divided enough into those who shop at Target and those who shop at Walmart, by those who live in the suburbs and those who live in the exurbs, by those who watch NASCAR races and those who watch Downton Abbey, by those who watch Rachel Ray and those who listen to me, by those who believe that healthcare is a right and, oh, just forget it. I want to bring us together and make peace with our friends in the land of foodiness. Maybe it's not so bad after all. Maybe I've been wrong. Was I just being too negative? Or maybe in the cunning, sneaky way of a toddler, I can get myself ingratiated in with the foodiness machine, using all my cuteness and cuddly charm, and then throw a giant wrench into it, forcing it to a screaming, grinding, smoking halt, and freeing us all from the oppressive shackles of foodiness forever! Ha ha! Two-year-olds are like little monomaniacal dictators. I'm like a pint-sized Stalin, a mini Assad, a juice-boxed Kim Jong-il, Suri Cruz on steroids. And now that I'm a consultant, which totally rocks, by the way, I highly recommend it to everyone. Just print a few business cards and you're in. I can start subversively consulting on foodiness to major corporations because you know those suits at General Foods and Unilever and Kraft and Pepsi are all just dying to get my opinion on their products. And I think I can really help them out a lot. Toddlers like to be helpful, so I am here for you, Mr. Frozen TGI Fridays Deep Fried Fake Crab Stuffed Chicken Wing Taquito Inventor. And you, Mr. Swirly Neon Flavored Yogurt Powder Filled Lucky Charms Granola Nugget Cereal Bar Guy. Call me. I have a lot of ideas for you. Let's all join together to make this world a better, less negative, best life ever place. My fees are negotiable. Sort of. I use the same pay scale as the military does for all of their consultants in Iraq. In the meantime, back to my anniversary celebration and second birthday party. The kids are here. They've just arrived. We got them all snuggled up in their Zen suits. Jack and Joe from the Heritage Control Room have brought in the cake. Chris is trying to make everyone drink Chardonnay and take Vicodin, and we're trying to keep him away from the Ritalin sprinkles. But we're in Bushwick, son. It's all about artisanal moonshine and locally grown weed here, Manhattan boy. So take that crap back to Chelsea and share it with the juicing mommies. And now, since we're all here and nicely buzzed and the kids are sedated and drooling, in honor of the dear leader, I mean host's second anniversary celebration of Let's Get Real, we're going to present the top 10 least negative trends in foodiness we reported on over the last year. Now, just in case you missed an entire year's worth of Let's Get Real, here's the Reader's Digest version, or maybe the Twitter version for you. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will begin our top 10 countdown of the least negative trends in foodiness from the past year. We will be right back.
You're listening to Weird Wild World by Sleepies on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. Now, it's been a while since I've done a live show. I know. I had people write to me and threaten that they were going to start drinking vitamin water and eating power bars if I didn't come back on the air. So I'm here for you, people. And if you're just joining us for the first time, remember that you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can also find Let's Get Real on Facebook. You can also go to my website, letsgetrealshow.com, and listen to any of my past episodes. You can also go to iTunes and for free listen to any Heritage Radio show ever made in the history of Heritage Radio, which is now going on almost 5 years, all five of which I've been a part of. Okay. Oh, and also, FYI, just by the way, today, Huffington Post food page, guess who has an article there? That would be me. Yep. So that joke about the peach and the worm and the lawsuit, it's in there. Okay. I know. I like to reuse my material. Anyway, check it out today, HuffingtonPost.com. Go to the food page. Look for me. I know. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, so we are counting down the top 10 least negative trends in foodiness that we reported on over the last year, or at least putting a less negative spin on them, because this is the year that I live my best life ever, just like Oprah, and I'm going to be less negative. And it's our second anniversary birthday party, and everybody's here eating hemp flour cake and drinking parsnip juice. So I wish you were all here to join us. It's quite a scene. Okay, so number 10 of the foodiness trends we reported on this year is that there's a new foodiness product called Soylent, made by the Soylent Corporation, and they're not being ironic. So a 20-something Brooklynite, of course, started up a food replacement product company and is calling it the Soylent Corporation without any, like, wink-wink, tongue-in-cheek reference to Soylent Green. He's just calling it Soylent, which shows you how far down the irony rabbit hole we've gone, and I think we really have entered the post-ironic era, although for some of us that's an impossible era to enter. And it's made out of kind of weird foodiness postmodern ingredients, and he claims that he can live on it for like years at a time. I'm not so sure. So the less negative spin on this one, well, this century's version of Soylent isn't actually made from people, whereas the original Soylent Green, if you do remember in the movie, was made from people. Now, I don't think making it out of people is actually such a bad idea, because there is a certain group of people right now in Washington, D.C., who I think would make excellent edible food pellets. Maybe they'll be available for the throwback retro version that comes out shortly. Okay, moving on. Number 9. We are now being asked to actually eat advertising. So in that night's episode called Edible Ads Are the Toilet Babies of Food, I got real about foodiness that was never food in the first place. How edible ads for orange-flavored Fanta, flavored like Fanta orange flavoring, are even further down the foodiness rabbit hole than vitamin-enhanced artificial sweetener and Pepsi with added fiber. And how edible ads are the social media equivalent of Japanese teenagers who spend 24 hours a day playing video games and never leave their bedrooms. There never was a there to begin with, and how you shouldn't be eating paper in the first place unless it's about a quarter inch in size and has a picture of Alice on it. And how eating ads for foodiness is literally ingesting truthiness, and how the next logical step from edible ads are flavored apps. So keep a lookout for the Let's Get Real Electric Kool-Aid Acid flavored app launching this spring. So did you get that edible ad? So Fanta was running an ad in a magazine where you would actually take the paper from the ad and you would eat it because it tasted like Fanta flavor, artificially orange flavored Fanta flavored paper that you would eat. Okay, so my less negative spin on here, Well, we compared this to toilet babies. So we talked about babies. That's always positive. Now, if you don't know what a toilet baby is, just Google Nick Kroll toilet babies. I can't get into it right now. There's kids here, Lexi and Hampton, and I don't want to freak them out. So, and we have so much more to talk about. So let's move on. Number 8, ads that are eating people. So first we talked about how edible ads seem like the lowest form of foodiness, but then all-encompassing mega ads that you can't escape started eating us. So there was an block-long ad for Power Water at the Columbus Circle subway concourse this past winter. They literally turned the entire underground block-long concourse into one single ad, but you couldn't escape. You had to walk through it, like you were going through its intestines or something. Or entire subway cars that actually become inhabitable ads. This is on the 42nd Street shuttle that goes between Grand Central and Port Authority, where the entire surface of the subway car, not just the exterior, but the interior, including the seats, are plastered with these gigantic ads for, I don't even know what. I think it's like a sports thing. So you're not just consuming the ad is actually consuming you. So my less negative spin on this one, or the positive spin on it, well, if you blur your eyes when you're on those subway trains, you can actually just pretend that they're covered in gigantic abstract art, which if you don't really look too closely, that's what it seems like. And I don't find it all that offensive on the 42nd Street shuttle in a weird way. It's kind of more interesting. And at least there are no ads for Dr. Zizmore. That's something. Okay, so our next one, number 7, was about 7-Elevens taking over in Manhattan. So in that night's Don't Make Me Say It Again show, I got real about what happens when you add 7-Eleven to the East Village. Goodbye, capital of counterculture. And hello, just another counter to self-serve your Slurpee. Now, on that show, I gave you the 411 on 7-Eleven's plans to Pringleize the East Village with truthiness and foodiness when I hosted the ultimate non-Kool-Aid interview with No 7-Eleven NYC's Bob Holman and Dr. Rob Hollander on 7-Eleven is to the East Village what Pringles are to potatoes. And while you're at it and listening to this, get off the couch and go become a friend of No 7-Eleven and follow them on Twitter. You should also follow Evie Grieve and Vanishing New York, too, both of which are doing the real journalistic dirty work on the Pringleization of New York City. Actually, you don't have to get off the couch to do something. That's the beauty of social media. You can be a lazy blob and still be an activist. So my less negative spin on this, all I can think of is that sometimes I want unsweetened iced tea, and I don't want to pay $7.50 for it at Teavana or Starbucks. And some 7-Elevens do have unsweetened iced tea in their fountains. I'm trying here, people. Positive is hard for me, you know. I mean, I'm only 2. I'm still in that very egocentric stage. But I'm trying. Okay, number 6. M&M flavored honey. Uh-huh. Now, on this excellent episode, I got real about the latest trends down the foodiness rabbit hole, how our already endangered bee population is foraging at places like M&M manufacturing plants and producing M&M flavored and colored honey, which is like the foodiness rabbit hole turning into a black hole from which real food cannot escape. This actually happened in France. Yeah, I didn't know they made M&Ms in France either, but the bees there do. It happened in Brooklyn when the bees got into the maraschino cherry factory a couple of summers ago and made red honey. In France, they were making blue and green and orange and brown honey. Now, the positive spin for me on this is that my Brooklyn rooftop non-candified bees produced more honey than ever this year, 70 pounds, which is now worth more than gold because it's real. So I can sell off all 70 pounds that I harvested this year, redecorate the fallout shelter, and retire to Honduras. See, I can be positive. Okay, number five. Childhood obesity levels are leveling off. So not that long ago, the CDC reported that teenagers are eating more vegetables and getting more exercise, and that childhood obesity levels are starting to level off, which means that our children are not expected to get any fatter than they already are. Talk about less negative. It's like when the experts tell us the world population is going to level off at 15 billion in 2050, which is going to make Soylent Green look like The Sound of Music in comparison. But the less negative point is that I'll most likely be dead, or if not, ensconced in a luxury building with running water and electricity in Honduras. I guess the fact that our teenagers are eating more vegetables and getting more exercise is positive. That actually makes me feel pretty good about the world. I only really know one teenager, my niece, and she likes vegetables a lot. She could get a little more exercise, but she's working on it. Okay, number four. Forager's Market in Chelsea gets rid of its butcher. Now, if you're not familiar with Forager's Market, I kind of like to pick on them a lot. I put them in my sights. Forager's is a market. They started in Brooklyn. Now they have one in Chelsea. And they were originally meant to be an actual food market that sold only local products. Local meat, local cheese, local chocolate, local baked goods, local blah, blah, blah. Right? Vegetables, dairy. And they had a real live butcher. Like a butcher counter with a butcher. Now, Chris, my co-producer and co-writer, lives right near the one in Chelsea, and he used to shop there and spend all the money that I paid him on, like, one steak and a watermelon, right? Like, that was a lot of money every week. But Forager's has gotten rid of their butcher shop, and now they're basically just a fancy deli and donut shop slash coffee bar for tourists on their way to the High Line and selling organic cookies for the mommies so they can quiet the kids while they're in the stroller. And now the display of organic vegetables against the wall is just so much branding. They're really just props. Now, the positive spin? I'm trying. I'm working on it. Well, they still sell really good eggs that they grow on their own farm at $8 a dozen, but that's okay. I've talked about that. And now Chris doesn't spend $25 on every watermelon, and he can start saving up for retirement, because if Let's Get Real doesn't start making us a fortune soon, he's going to need a backup plan. Okay, number three, Manhattan is now filled with drugstores that sell foodiness. All the drugstore chains in the city now have refrigerated counters that sell food and foodiness, but some real food. I know, as crazy as it seems, you can actually now find things like hummus and cut up fruit and even little quinoa salads at places like Duane Reade, along with the vitamin water and the Tampax and the Pringles. Now, in moments of low blood sugar desperation, which I have, I've even purchased a snack there and it's been okay. That's as positive as I'm going to get about that one. Number two was about Armageddon. Well, number two is about Armageddon. And how Armageddon is still coming, even though the date came and went last October. Came and went. It's still upon us, which means the foodiness matrix goes down and all the potato people die off, which is good. And all the devices that everyone uses stop working, and you can't rent city bikes anymore because they're controlled by digital credit card systems, and you have to learn how to raise and grow food and probably eat people. All the wrong kind of people, but people nonetheless. We bypassed the big end of the world in 2012, but all hope is not lost. The new date is being predicted as January of 2017. So we can only hope that that's going to happen. And also, massive solar flares have been narrowly missing the Earth lately and are predicted to eventually wipe out all of our electronic communication systems. So we also can only hope. And of course, there was a meteorite that blew up over Russia, and one of those is only supposed to hit us every 100 years, but there's a 1 in 100 chance that we get one every year. Now, that won't cause an apocalypse, but if it blows up over the right place, let's say like over the High Line or maybe over the Barclays Center, it could be a really good thing. That's my positive spin. Okay, now, finally, the number one less negative trend in foodiness would be me appearing at TEDx Berkeley this past spring. Now, I know that's not exactly a trend in foodiness, but first and foremost of all, the foodiness fighter herself, me, hit the world of TEDx in Berkeley, California to spread the word to the elitist academic navel-gazing masses. In my talk, The Real Food Movement Needs to Get Real, I give the real food elite a piece of my mind for being out of touch. I gave Chris an opportunity to also write in inappropriate Jesus jokes, which the TEDx people actually retweeted. And most important, I came that much closer to becoming the Jon Stewart of food, or the Stephen Colbert of food, or the Rachel Maddow of food, whichever works. How much less negative can you get than that? I know that kind of veers into shameless self-promotion, but you know me, and that's part of being too. Remember, it's all about the ego. So it really is a day to celebrate here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter and at the Foodiness Reeducation Center here at Let's Get Real HQ. And if that doesn't get you excited enough, remember that tomorrow, October 2nd, is proposed National Kale Day. Now, it's not official yet, and now that the government is shut down, I think the process for making it official is going to be a little bit delayed, but we can call it unofficial National Kale Day tomorrow, and we can all go out and eat some kale. But today is actually National White Chocolate Day, so we still have a long ways to go, because what is the point of white chocolate? I'll never know. I've never understood it. Maybe it's chocolate for racists. Maybe it's like the Condoleezza Rice of chocolate. Or for people with palates that are so dulled and deadened from eating crap all their lives that they only like bland, sweet, insipid things like white chocolate or Bieber or The Voice. So everybody's here now for the party. All the staff from the reeducation camp. Chef Chad, the sniper turned pastry chef turned Heritage Radio Network host. Remember, he's our head of security. He just came in with his rifle and his camo. And Kristen Wortman, of course, the camp nutritionist. She's here for consultations. Take a number. She'll be with you shortly. And Chris, of course, is here with his big bottle of Chardonnay. And Adam, my husband, who's busy with Kristen's husband, Brian, permaculturing the grounds, because Brian has a permaculture business, and building the rainwater recovery system that we're going to use to brew our own beer after the end comes. So I'm going to go back to the party now, because you only turn two once, and I plan to enjoy it like a true two-year-old would. I'm going to get all hopped up on sugar and get cake all over me and throw a little tantrum or two and then throw up and collapse on the floor and take a nap. Just another day in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter for all of us and the beginning of a beautiful third year for Let's Get Real. And by beautiful, I mean full of all the negativity that you listen to Let's Get Real for. So, if you don't want to be less negative, especially about foodiness and potato people and edible ads and asteroids and toilet babies and terrible twos, keep on tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on the Heritage Radio Network. And also, read the Huffington Post today. It'll be good for you. So special thanks to Joe in the control room, to Chris Nutter, my co-producer and writer, to Ben Kaplan, who wrote my awesome theme song music, and to everybody here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. Lexi and Hampton just passed out in the corner. We're going to strap them up in the stroller, send them back to the city with the nannies. It's good to be back. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.